We welcome in now Mark Simon. Mark's been with us a whole bunch this season, at Mark A. Simon Says on Twitter. Mark, it's good to have you. Good to talk to you. And we've had a good week of baseball to talk about, man. How are you?
Hi, yeah, it is good to talk to you. I'm just intrigued by what I'm reading in the last 15 minutes about how the Padres fired their manager, and their shortlist includes the Giants manager.
That's funny, because we've been talking about that since, yeah, that happened like right before we got going at 12 o'clock on the show. And, you know, that's we'll just talk opinion here for a minute, I guess. But that's something we've been kind of kicking around, that I imagine that if the Padres called Bruce Bochy, he would have to at least entertain a phone call. Would you not think?
Yeah, I guess my mind changes on that. I remember Marty brought that up like 3 or 4 months ago, and I kind of laughed at the idea that I thought that the guy was retiring for good. But now I read this short list that has Bochy and Socha and Ron Washington and all these experienced guys. Maybe Marty was up to something. The guy is pretty well respected everywhere. And if he wants to, maybe shoot, give him another crack at it.
Well, you mentioned in three guys there, of course, that are, I think, modern day baseball minds would tell you those types of minds are getting phased out. But don't you think there's something to be said about a manager who will embrace the analytics of the game, but also knows how to manage a guy between the ears?
Yeah, so this is going to be really interesting, because the GM is pretty analytically inclined from what we know. They built an analytics department that is supposed to be fairly strong. And I guess they've decided maybe that they want a little bit of a contrast to that, as long as the person doesn't take them on the things that they try to do. Maybe they figure that that's the way to go. I'm wondering if Joe Madden's going to get into this list.
That's a great question, because he falls into that basket, that category as well, as a guy who's embraced the cutting edge of baseball statistics, but also he's kind of a rah-rah manager.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't expecting to talk about this today, but it's an interesting topic.
It is. It's good, and we'll keep kicking it around this pregame and probably into the postgame as well. But let's talk a little bit about Bochy. The 2000th win in Boston, which kind of unique and funny that it happens the day after the Skrzemski thing. I'll ask you about that, too. But Bruce Bochy gets his 2000th win, only the 11th manager. Where does he fall in baseball history? He's not going to get to 500 all-time. Nobody's going to catch Cornelius McGillicuddy, right? So where does Bruce Bochy's 2000 wins fall among the all-time greats?
I think when you look like 25, 30 years from now, you're going to be really amazed at what he did. And I think 2000 is a good number, because 2,080 wins, this is 500 for 25 years, which is what he managed. That's hard to do. And I can't see a lot of managers having that longevity moving forward. Terry Francona might get to 2,000. Other than that, I was thinking about it. Steve Roberts has like forever to go. But he's like the one young manager that I would think that would have a shot. I think it speaks to how well respected he is, even if maybe he's not part of the newer analytic community, that he's done as well as he has, and that he's found ways to win in both places and do it. You don't hear a lot of situations where the player left because he didn't like the manager,
right,
in either place that he was.
Yeah, no, I think that's well said. Talking to Mark Simon at Mark A. Simon Says on Twitter. If you want to check him out there, always putting out some good stuff. How about the Carl Yastrzemski, Mike Yastrzemski thing? I don't think, and we were talking to Kerry Crowley of the Bay Area News Group just a minute ago. We were all, I think, anticipating the Boston series this year as an opportunity for fans to watch Pablo Sandoval go back to Boston as sort of just a slap in the face to the Boston fans, or might have been kind of funny, but it ended up being this very emotional, sort of magical baseball moment where you got a modern-day player whose grandfather is an all-time great at an all-time stadium, and it played out like a movie, hitting a home run. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think, you know, that we know that you guys have me on to talk about numbers a lot, but I like baseball stories and baseball moments, and that one is really about as good as it gets. You couldn't ask for better. Yaz has very much been withdrawn from baseball, Grandpa Yaz, for a long period of time. He doesn't get to Fenway that much, but this is a really nice thing for him. He hits the home run, and it's just all sorts of awesome. And I think I have a cool stat that I was going to bring to the table. Entering that series, and I'm sure if you update it today, it's probably a little different. Best slugging percentage versus low pitches this season, and low being kind of like that bottom of the strike zone area. Mm-hmm. It's Mike Trout, Matt Olson, and Mike Yastrzemski. I think that that's really cool.
It's funny that you mention that, because it's two left-handed hitters and one right-handed hitter there. Matt Olson's got that funny, like, he's got the uppercut. He's got the launch angle swing, right? He stands out with his, yep, his bat out far from his body. But Yaz sort of has that same thing where he's a little bit more compact, but he's got the loop to his swing. So I guess that doesn't totally shock me, but top three and the 20 home runs to go with it, pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I know that Marty's concerned about how he's getting beat up top a lot. But if you're that good down low, that's a pretty good place to be. The next group of hitters on the list are all really good hitters. Freddie Freeman, Jeff McNeil, Pete Alonso, Yordan Alvarez. If you're good at hitting that pitch, that's a pretty good place to be.
Yeah, and if you're getting beat up, just don't swing at the high ones, you know? I'm kidding.
Right.
But it's
exactly
easier said than done.
That's
what Trout does. Okay, so you mentioned Freddie Freeman is a great hitter, and I look at this Braves team. We've been talking also today about whether or not maybe the National League is sleeping on the Atlanta Braves a little bit. They're young, but they've got a good mix of veterans. Donaldson having a great year. Of course, Acuna with the 40-plus homers. Maybe a 40-40 guy. But Freddie Freeman is an MVP candidate, it seems like, year in and year out. He's leading the league in runs batted in, which I know sometimes people in the analytic world are not fond of that statistic, but tells you what he's doing with guys on base. Who is the most valuable Atlanta Brave right now?
So it's amazing that they have really four outstanding players. They put together a quartet that rivals, there aren't many that compare to it in the National League. If you go back in the last 16 seasons, we're talking 4.5 WAR, 5 WARs, All-Star, 4.5 WARs, still really good. That's Donaldson, Acuna, Albies, and Freeman. All are that good or better. Last 16 seasons, only one other team had, a National League team, had four guys 4.5 or better. That was the 2014 Pirates. If they were to get to 5 WAR, if you have a team to have four position players at 5 WAR, that's rare. That's the 98 Astros. That's the 78 Phillies with Lazinski, Maddox, Schmidt, and Boa. That's Alou, Bagwell, Bell, and Biggio. Those are really good quartets. The problem that the Braves had is, well, twofold. One, I don't think the starting pitching is necessarily going to hold up in the postseason, though they did get Keuchel, which I think was a really good move. But the Dodgers are just in their way, and the Dodgers are better than them. They're not necessarily a lot better than them, but they're better, and I would be surprised if the Braves beat the Dodgers in a long series. And that's essentially the issue that they've got right now, but they're an excellent team. They've been an excellent team all season.
I would be surprised, too, but I do think that toe-to-toe, and what you're talking about here, I think the Dodgers probably have the edge on the pitching side a little bit, but I do think that if you're going toe-to-toe lineup-wise, the Braves can stack up against them pretty good, especially with their top four.
Yep, and Freddie Freeman, you brought up runs batted in. I don't have a problem with it because he is such a tough out with men on base, runners in scoring position. He makes contact at a pretty good rate. He gives you a good at-bat. He doesn't pop up a lot of things with men on base. He has smart at-bats. If he was, for me, I guess, if he was on any team other than the Braves, I would think he was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
It's tough when you're following a team that's in the NL East because he kills everybody, and he's an excellent player. He's a guy that you respect a lot, but boy, you wish you didn't have to face him.
Yeah, he's a monster, and don't forget, he gave it up for the team last year. He moved to third base for a little bit. Remember that? They had Matt Adams. Was that who it was? And he said, "Hey, I'll go play third base." Was it Matt Adams who was there?
I am trying to remember.
I can't remember if it was Adams or Mark Reynolds. Yeah, it might have been a couple of years ago. Anyway,
he can do it.
He's a team-first guy, which I think any fan of a team likes. Hey, before we let you go, another minute or two here, I just want to ask you about Johnny Cueto. Cueto's been fantastic in his first two starts, only 5 innings, but not allowed a run yet. He's got a whip under. He's got like a .7 whip or something like that. What do you think we're going to see from him, or what trend do you see continuing with Johnny Cueto?
I think the thing you like from him in the first couple of starts is that the changeup's been really good. The fastball's been really good. Changeup is the key pitch for him. Throwing the cutter, well, not necessarily for strikes a lot, but he's throwing the changeup for strikes like 75%. And that's only a couple of starts, but it's a good start for him. It's what you're hoping to see. And it kind of sets him up, you would think, to be the opening day starter next year if Bumgarner's not there.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think Giants fans are liking what they're seeing. He's picking up where he left off, and this is what they paid him to do, to come in and be essentially the second ace of a staff. And you're right, he may be the opening day ace next year. Mark, I appreciate you spending time with us today, and we'll talk to you sometime soon down the line, huh?
Yep, you got it.
All right, thanks. Mark Simon, Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, Baseball Info Solutions, if you want to check him out. Good stuff there.